Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's the kind of radio show that's unlike any other, where essentially you kind of look at it like this. I don't know who you are, you don't know who I am, and the audience may not be terribly familiar with either of us. So I'll tell you what. We'll get together. We'll have a conversation. We won't be dicks to each other, and we'll just have a nice, fun old time. What's wrong with that? And everybody else can get to know both of us intimately. That's the way it should be. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, man. 5 days a week. Seriously, I don't even know who half these people are. 90% of them, even because all the listeners and stuff like that have all these eclectic different interests, and a lot of them are older than me. Like most of the people that listen to the show, George, are between the ages of 40 and 60. About 45% female, kind of thing. So I'm like, whoa. There's a huge amount of knowledge out there. That's beyond mine in all these different areas, and they're familiar with all these names of these different people and things like that that they've been following for like a decade or whatever, and I never even heard of that person. So they send me their email, they send me their website, and I'll get that person on. And they'll learn stuff about that person that they didn't know, and I'll learn stuff about that person that I don't know, right? Because I'm starting off from the humble position of, I don't know who I'm talking to, and I don't know what we're talking about. So please, do us the honour of taking the lead. You know, this is 2 hours of radio. You may not have had this opportunity before, so you can talk about whatever you like. And just as long as you're truthful and are prepared to have fun, we won't have any problems. And I don't think this is the way that most talk radio is done, because it's a big risk to put yourself out there for people that you're unfamiliar with. There's usually a long vetting process, you know, like some radio show hosts will tell me that it's a real hassle to prepare a 2 hour a week show. And I'm doing between 10 and 20 hours a week of radio like it's nothing. And it's because I've cut that out, all that stuff that I feel is unnecessary, because I don't know. I just like not having to do work, basically, and having a conversation with somebody who's cool and having fun. That doesn't sound like a hell of a lot of work to me. So I've tried to put as much of that in as possible, and I'll get the rest.
Well, it's either work or it's just being, isn't it? You just want to be who you are, and sometimes other people have a different approach. And that's how my approach is this is what I came to do. I'm just being natural and being me. And I chose to incarnate into that bloodline, but crikey, you know, I'd challenge anyone else to try and rewrite these DNA codes. It's not so straightforward when you got a priestly caste energy so entrenched into your DNA. It's disgusting, to be honest. It's a very, very awful thing to have to do. But you know, I chose it, and I've got to wear my obligations and responsibilities for it. And we've all incarnated in different bloodlines for varying reasons, and you know, a lot of the bloodlines went underground, so they're not known. And takes a lot of courage.
Hold on a second. This is a thought that occurred to me a while back. You know how there's a New World Order bloodline of these wealthy evil families and stuff like that? I was wondering, are there truther bloodlines? Descendants of old things that are all actually operating in a secret kind of underground manner and things like that are all connected in a conspiratorial way that is up against the New World Order at the same time?
Well, people have different ideas about bloodlines. I mean, you can take the average bloodline in a family, just the average Joe Blow walking the street, and they might have a significant charge of karmic energy, karmic knowledge and wisdom, because of the role they might have played as a servant to a king who created a revolution, and this person might have advised the king in private behind closed doors on matters of council, of state matters and what have you, and had a huge influence on the course and destiny of humanity. But they were just a servant. Do you know what I mean? But all the amount of energy of the change of the course and destiny of humanity, all that energy is going to be connected to that bloodline. And so whoever's incarnate into that insignificant bloodline, so to speak, insignificant, don't realise just how significant it actually is, whether it's got, it's up in lights or it's got, you know, it's got whistles and bells attached to it. So bloodlines can be a very fickle thing. Just because someone's incarnated into a famous bloodline doesn't mean they've got more going on than a person who's incarnated into an infamous bloodline. So, you know, they're neither here nor there. To answer your question, I definitely agree that that is the case. There are bloodlines of families that have tried their best throughout the ages to incarnate and change the course and destiny of humanity. They've tried to do the right thing. So truth of bloodlines, I totally agree with, do exist.
Absolutely. Well, who are those families? I mean, I can throw out two of the New World Order families, Rothschild, Rockefellers. Who are two truth of families?
Well, you've obviously incarnated into a truth of bloodline. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing the things that you're doing. There's so many people that have incarnated into these bloodlines because it matches too with the passion, and you know you incarnate into a.
Hold on, because I was talking about a very specific, like there were 13 families who forged the Illuminati and a secret society and stuff like that, and they're all interlocked and intermarried, and they're trying to enslave society. Are there 14 or a dozen truth of families that have also forged a similar type of conspiracy to swear eternal allegiance against scumbaggery or something of that nature? Because I don't think that is the case. I think that what happens organically when organisms are attacked by a virus or a cancer or something of that nature, the body will find a way, somehow, provided it's given the right tools to work with, nutrition, etc., to repel any of that overriding virus or cancer or thing that is threatening to destroy it. And I think that humanity in a greater consciousness level actually has that sort of white blood cells, so to speak, as well. And so these they get produced in these families that produce these white blood cells, these attack blood cells. Like my father, for example, an inventor in the 80s and stuff like that, when he was over-mortgaged all up to hilt with three kids and another on the way, and he was running an electricity business and a forklift tire design business and all at the same time, and the stock market goes down. He just kept working, and he found everything he needed to get by. I come from a very resilient family who are, you on the one side, like my mother's side, very, very spiritual. And on my father's side, very analytical and very industrious and very entrepreneurial. And on the mother's side, again, there's a healing aspect to it. There's a lot of nurses and that kind of thing, and they're all very family oriented. So it's actually, I don't think there's anything real mystical going on here to a large degree. You're either born into a family of people who are naturally inclined to be this way and be at the very least of higher intelligence. Like, you're not going to be born into a family of people who feed you a Coca-Cola from the bottle from the age of two years old or something like that and become a genius, are you? Because your family's so dumb that they're going to destroy your abilities. And I think, and that's a part of the deliberate agenda of the New World Order, to toxify and dumb down everybody so that people like you and me start to appear less and less and less until eventually there'll be none of us left to resist.
Yeah, well, a lot of the bloodlines have gone underground, and they wanted to eliminate any of the threats by making sure that they do dope the masses and they sit at the top. And I'll tell you what, it's been a challenge for all of us to have come through, because our DNA has been marinating in dogma and different types of foods and you know, and genetically modified foods and chemicals now added, and it's not easy. It's a great challenge. And when it comes to the 12 tribes of Israel, there's more to that. The 12 families you speak of has to do who are the ones who have been instated by the priestly caste. And the reason they use that is to replicate what's going on a much larger, on a cosmic level, where it came down to 12 main archetypal personalities of the universal creator. I'm talking about the real one now, not the god of religions. There's two different things going on here, right? And then there's, you know, we've got the music of the spheres, so we've got the 12 archetypes represented in the solar system with all of the 12 archetypal personalities. And what we also ended up with in the cosmic arenas, because we you know, there's been a long-term project, like I said, from before this galaxy was created. Eventually, we were going to get to the point where we were going to create the genetic vessel. So we got it down to we. I mean, you know, I've got the memory of being a part of this. There's so many people incarnate that are a part of this. I'm talking into the millions, if not billions. And we needed to create a genetic vessel. So we got it down to 12 of main groupings, genetic groupings of all races that are in the universe. So, you know, this is the original understanding of the 12 fractal system to do with the 12 main layers of frequency or dimensional realms in the universe. So it has to do with the way the universe is structured, but then you've got these other beings and entities with ideas they want to replicate because if someone else wants to be God, so it's got to try and replicate everything to blur the lines between reality and illusion and also be more effective in a harmonic way. So it's about replicating the natural environment as much as you can so you can then manipulate organic life as much as you can and have more influence over it. Because if you try and create something that's quite different, you're not going to succeed. It's been done in the universe so many times before. So you've got, you know, the different ideas from different organizations and different groups, you know, as above, so below. We have multitudes of councils out there, multitudes of beings out there with different ideas who are trying to impose their ideologies and philosophies onto our world. So, yeah, this Illuminati thing is just one layer on the planet, and you got to realize this thing. It goes into an intergalactic cabal. It goes into dimensional, goes into the cosmos, and it goes right back to God entities who are creating pseudo-universal paradigms. I explain that all in the book. This is a very, very big control structure. And, you know, once we start to remember once again the bigger picture of life. And I tell people, don't take my word for gospel. You know, I'm giving you my perspective. Feel into it and go with what feels right for you. And I'm just providing information which will help trigger people into remembering who and what we are, where we've come from. And once, you know, you understand about the 12 tribe scenario, and you think, crikey, okay, so this is where it all comes from. And so the 12 families on the planet are just puppets for the priestly castes, who the priestly castes themselves are just puppets, interdimensional puppets for much bigger entities behind the scenes, which go into the cosmos. So, you know, they think they're big and high and mighty, but they're not. They're really not. They're very frightened and insecure individuals. And they're totally brainwashed, and these God entities have totally got their tentacles into them. They possess them regularly. I've had to deal with these beings on a personal level in this lifetime. So I know what it's like. I know the energy. These entities come through people around me as well. It's something that I'm well-versed at. So there are the odd people who have incarnated into these other bloodlines that we speak of, like, be it Rockefellers, Rothschilds. They're not everybody is. You can't be racist here. You can't taint everyone with the same brush. There's people who are incredibly courageous who have chosen to incarnate into these bloodlines to change them from the inside out as well. So yes, there's people
and
who
figuratively. I actually discussed this not too long ago with a friend of mine. And he told me that, yes, in fact, there are some Rothschilds and Rockefellers who are coming out against the agendas of their families from the inside. But then he said those people get quickly eliminated. If they get shown to have any emotion, any tendency that would force them to try and change things from the inside, they've developed that methodology over those hundreds of years to weed that out completely. Not entirely dissimilar to how, say, the Spartans would throw away any child who's unshapely or misformed. The Rothschilds and Rockefellers would discard anybody who has a heart and a soul and an empathy.
Yeah, because it's, you know, survival of the fittest, or it's just, you know, the evolutionary process. They just take it on a mechanical level and don't take it any further, because the bigger agenda is paramount principle and superior to any individual's needs. It's the, you know, the individual part of a greater organism, And that's how these people think. These are the collective hive mind mentalities. And at the top, you've got these god entities that pull the strings in the rest of the clans or the groupings or whatever, the hives.
Well, yeah. It's what David Icke told me is that they're these entities called archons that the Gnostics talked about, who are obsessed with hierarchical structure. Absolutely unable to create anything of their own means and intensely jealous of humanity's ability to create things, but they can manipulate, right? And the shorthand is you give them a blank sheet of paper, they got nothing. You give them a blank sheet of paper that's got a few ideas on it, they can twist it, distort it, invert it, and play around with it. And I was just thinking, man, how twisted and distorted and played around with are our minds, our realities, our bodies, our very ideas themselves. I come to the conclusion that most of my ideas that I think are original are not even my own, and somebody's already come up with them. And there really ain't nothing new under the sun, really, is there? And all these arguments that you see going on between the left versus right and Republican versus Democrat or Tory versus Liberal or any of these other things, you understand very quickly that they're both wrong. Because if one of them was right, clearly, unequivocally correct, the argument would end pretty freaking quickly, wouldn't it? And not go on forever. So I won't go on forever either, ladies and gentlemen, because we're coming to a break, conveniently enough, and we'll be right back with my very special guest, George.